Brother Doug's in the Holy Ghost tonight, and that was a great song for what we're going to preach on tonight. And I'm going to preach on the spot, but the Lord is on my side. Amen. What did God say? God said, I'll be with you as long as you're with me. Amen. And thank God that we can be on the Lord's side. Amen. Hallelujah for that. Psalms 118 tonight. Psalms 118, verses 1 to 6. Psalms 118, verses 1 to 6 tonight. And you love the Psalms of David and the things that he said and how God was with the different psalmists as they wrote the book, the Psalms of praise and thanksgiving and the Psalms of God's deliverance. And the book of Psalms is such a great encouragement to the child of God. When I read my Bible through, I read it through kind of differently, so that I, you know, I always need encouragement when I'm starting my Bible through for the next time. So what I do is I read the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon simultaneously, and then as I read my New Testament. And generally speaking, I will read those books. In about 3 or 4 days, I'll read those books. And it always encouraged me because then I look at my Bible reading schedule and I'm so far ahead. And then I read the book of Job and Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. And then I go to the book of Genesis and I start reading that again. And I've been doing that for a number of years because it gives me encouragement because I feel like I'm getting somewhere, right? And then, of course, I'm reading my New Testament. And, you know, people do all kind of different things. I've tried all kind of different ways to read the Bible. And I said, well, I want to read it in a way that, you know, that'll give me some, you know, just help me to read more. And that's been very successful for me because I'm trying to read my Bible through numerous times. But, you know, when you read the book of Psalms, it always encourages the child of God. It does. Because the psalmist, they've been through things. And they've been through the fire and they've been through the flood and they've been through the difficulties of life and they came out praising God. Amen. And that's why I love the book of Psalms. Psalms 118. And look what it says in verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. And let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. And we're going to take our text out of verse number 6 and preach on that thought. The Lord is on my side. Let's pray. Father, God, I'm glad that you're on our side tonight. And so many times as Christians, we forget that you are on our side. God, that you are for us. You said, if God be for us, who can be against us? And Lord, we go through life sometimes and we get, Lord, just the cares of life, they press us down. And we forget, God, that you're ever with us. We forget that you are working for us through the difficulties of life. And God, I pray tonight as we look at this thought that as child of God, our hearts will be blessed. And Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Tonight, as we preach on this thought, the Lord is on my side. You know, many times throughout the Bible, it is asked who is on the Lord's side, right? Who is on the Lord's side? And, you know, you say, do you have to take sides? Well, there's no such thing as being in the middle when it comes to God, right? You're either for him or you're against him. What did Jesus say? If you're not for me, you're what? You're against me. It's as simple as that. And you can't, what I say, you can't hold hands with the devil and hold hands with God. It doesn't work like that. If you walk in the middle of the road, you get run over, right? Just the way it is. You walk in the middle of the road, you get run over. And all throughout the Bible, those questions are asked. Elijah said to the people, how long halt you between two opinions? If Baal be God, serve him. If the Lord be God, serve him. For God's sake, make up your mind. Amen. And this idea of who is on the Lord's side. Moses said that in Exodus 32 when he came down from the mountain, saw what was going on and he saw the golden calves. He said, who's on the Lord's side? Who? And the Levites came to him. He said, "Now get your sword and take care of business." And they did. You got to take sides sometimes when it comes to, hey, when it comes to right and wrong. Hey, there's no middle ground here. I want to be on the Lord's side of things. Amen. And we can't stand with evil and think that God's going to bless us. We got to be on God's side of this thing. There is a choice that has to be made. Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve," whether the gods, he talked about the different gods and so on and so on. But he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He said, "I'm on the Lord's side." You know, people ask me all the time. I was at a meeting one time. They said, "Whose side are you on? Are you on Jack Isle's side or are you on this guy's side?" And I said, "First of all, I don't have a clue what you're talking about, but I can tell you this. I'm on Jesus' side." Whatever side Jesus is on, that's the side I'm on. I'm on God's side. You know, hey, I don't have to be on your team and you don't have to be on mine. But we do have to be on God's team. Because God is always right, no matter what. God is right, and we are wrong. Amen. And I will affirm that again till the day I die. God is right, and we are wrong. And God's side is the side I want to be on. Whatever side that is, whatever side God's side is, that's the side I want to be on. Amen. And again, it's something that's the theme throughout the Bible of making choices, of choosing between right and wrong. You know, and certainly David knew that God takes sides. God does take sides. And that's why he says, "The Lord is on my side." The Lord is on my side. Romans 8:31, again, if God be for us, who can be against us? Because God takes sides. He takes sides. Now, let me say this tonight. You know, thank God he takes sides. Would you want God to side with the wicked? No, God sides with the righteous. And that's why all throughout the Bible, hey, when God spoke out against hypocrisy, you cannot condemn the righteous and justify the wicked. You got to be honest. You got to be an honest broker when it comes to the things of God. And, you know, so many times people condemn the righteous and justify the wicked. And you can't do that. There are some things that you cannot control in life and you cannot control what other people do. You can only control what you do. And that's why you don't condemn the children because of the parents, or you don't condemn the parents because of the children. People say, "Well, if your children sin against God, well, then you must have been a lousy parent." I don't think that's true. Because I don't think God was a lousy parent because Adam and Eve sinned and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, we've got to stop that kind of thinking. That's wrong thinking. And hey, we need to be on God's side of things. And that's why God said the children shall not die for the parents and the parents shall not die for the children. Because, hey, we're going to justify the righteous and justify the innocent and condemn the evil. Again, you have to take sides when it comes to this thing. And thank God that he takes sides. And thank God David recognized, he said, "The Lord is on my side." You read over there in the book of 1 Chronicles and 2 Samuel or 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel, I'm sorry, when David wanted to build the temple and Nathan came to him, he said, "David," he said, "whatever's in your heart, do it because the Lord is with thee." Now, God came to Nathan and told him, "Go tell David, hey, you know, I'm with you, but you can't build the temple. You shed too much blood, but you can prepare for it." And he did, because God was with him. God was with him. Now, can I say this tonight? I got a simple little message here tonight. But the first thing is this. Thank God that the Lord is on my side in my distresses, in my distress. The psalmist said in verse 5, "I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place." You know, when we're in distress, it is good to know that you have someone on your side. Amen. It is good to know you have someone on your side, someone we can lean on, someone we can look to, someone that we can live for. And that's, thank God, that's God. In our distresses, thank God, we have someone to go to. We're not like the world who doesn't have, don't, they don't know. People tell me all the time, they'll say, "Pastor, Because I, you know, people come to the church. Homeless people come to the church. People in distress come to the church. People in, with all kind of problems in the middle of divorce, the on the verge of divorce, on the verge of being locked up, on the verge of losing everything. And they'll say, Pastor, I have no one I can turn to. And I always think to myself, that's sad. Because I always have someone I can turn to. I have the friend that sticks closer than a brother. My big brother's always there. His name's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When I'm distressed, if I'm in distress, you'll never know it because I'm going to share that with my big brother, Jesus. I'm going to share that with my Father, Father God. I'm going to share my distresses with Him. The Bible says, casting all our care upon Him, for He careth for you. Thank God, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there's no temptation taking but such as common to man. But God, who is faithful, will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. God is always there. In my distress, He's on my side. I remember that. I count on that. I think about that. I said, now, God, I don't know why this is all happening, but I know You're allowing it to happen. And I know that You are with me. You know how much comfort that brings me when I'm going through things? And it kind of takes the fear factor out of the thing. Remember that show they had Fear Factor years ago where they ate all the nasty stuff? You said, could you do that? I couldn't do it, not for one second. You know, grind up all them creatures, them bugs and them rodents and them things with a thousand legs and you know, and drink it down. The one lady, one time on the, I watched it, and it wasn't something I watched all the time, but I did watch it a couple times. And they had this man, the husband and wives had the challenge and they had to drink this stuff. So the wife pretends she's sucking it down. She ain't sucking nothing down. And the husband sucked the whole cup down full of that nasty stuff. And when he got, but he would have won, but you're not allowed to throw up. As soon as he got done, he threw it up all over the ground. And his wife's laughing. And she says, honey, I love you, but I just couldn't do it. But you know what? The Lord's never done that to me. The Lord would never do that to me. Now, I understand why she couldn't suck that up. I couldn't have done it either. You know, I don't have a strong enough stomach for that. I think I do. In my mind, I do, but not in reality. There's no way. And I've eaten nasty stuff, but that's crossing the line. But you know, the Lord's there for the child of God. And he never fools me that way. You know, He's always with me. And I'm thankful that He is. In Genesis 35, in verse number 3, if you look over there, it's a story, of course, of Jacob, Genesis 35. And you love the story of Jacob. He's an interesting character. And he was God changed his name to Israel. And because he had power with God. Genesis 35 and verse number 3. And it says, and he says, and let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. You say, what did God do? He answered him in the day of his distress. When he was in distress and worried about his brother Esau, the angels of God met him. He wrestled with the angel till the break of day. And he blessed Jacob and changed his name to Israel. Because as a man, he had power with God. And Jacob knew when things were going wrong, the place he needed to go was to God. You know where you need to go when things are going wrong? When you're in distress. Hey, when you're having a problem, when you're uncertain about something, the place you need to go is to God. Because God can solve all of your problems. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Look in Psalms 4. And I love these verses because it gives us, you know, the answer to what we need to do when we're having a problem in life. Psalms 4 and verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Just to be able to pray and know that God is hearing. And that you have access and an audience with the King of Kings. Psalms 18 and in verse number 6, notice what it says. It says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. You say, does God want me to pray when I'm in trouble? Absolutely. He wants us to come to Him when there's a problem. He wants us to come to Him all the time, but how much more when there's a problem? I tell people all the time, they'll call me, and I said, I wish you had called me sooner. I really could have helped you with that if you'd have called me before you went and did those things. I said, why didn't you call? I came. They said, well, Pastor, I felt bad to call. Let me tell you something. You don't have to feel bad to call. You say, why? Because you are the sheep of God's pasture that He's put me over. I'm not the shepherd, but I am the under shepherd. And that's why you don't have to be afraid to call or approach me for anything. I'm not afraid to approach Jesus Christ. And I call upon Him when I have a need. And you know what? That's the way it should be. We ought to be able to call upon one another, and we ought to be able to call upon God. And that's why the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of what? Need. Don't you know Brother Gene has a need tonight? And thank God we have access to come before the throne and beg God for His mercies and His grace. And I wasn't bothered that Sister Susan called me. Said, Pastor, I don't want to. You're not bothering me. You're not bothering me. Call me. It's okay. I want you to call me. Hey, we want to bear one another's burdens. We want to pray with you. We want to make a difference. Hey, you want to care for your flock. That is such an important thing. And I know we live in a crazy day, do we not? Pastors don't want to live anywhere near the church because they're afraid their flock might bother them. Now, isn't that a crazy thing? I mean, who would have a flock of sheep and not have them near to you to take care of them? Does that make sense? That's never made sense to me. I think you could be as close as you can and be as available as you can. I'm glad I don't have to make an appointment to talk to Jesus. Right? And thank God you don't have to make an appointment to talk to your pastor. You can call me day or night. My cell phone number is not a secret. Right? And you know what? Hey, thank God in our distress that God is always there. He's there. And Paul said in the New Testament application, was Paul in distress from time to time as he served the Lord? Sure he was. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, he says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was on that ship, and he told everybody, he said, now listen, be of good comfort and be of good cheer, for this night the angel of the Lord has stood by me. Right? And look over there, and I don't want to misquote this one, because sometimes I can misquote some things. It's not intentional, right? I was talking about Goliath the other day, and I'm thinking, I know he's 9.5 feet tall. Why did I say 12 feet? You know, and you get your numbers mixed up sometimes, and you know, and things happen. But understand. Sometimes I'm slipping, right? Acts chapter number. What did I say? 28. Acts 28. Or 27. I'm sorry. Acts 27. And you love what the Apostle Paul said to those that were with him. And that the encouragement that he gave to them. Verse 24. Verse number 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Hey, thank God. Were they in distress? If you're in a hurricane or a tsunami, or not a tsunami, but a typhoon, and you're in a wooden ship, you're in distress. They had lost all hope that they were going to live. But Paul stood up and said, sirs, don't be afraid. The angel of God, whose I am, stood with me this night. And matter of fact, he told me that I'm going to Rome and he's going to let all of you live because of me. Don't you know that gave some encouragement? Hey, thank God he's on our side. And I hate to see when people are so deflated and so depressed and so distraught that they lose hope and they forget that God is on their side. Sometimes when you're going through it, and I understand when you're going through it and everything is going wrong, it's hard to remember that God's on your side. But I promise you, as a child of God, God is on your side. Thank God that He is. In my distress, but in my desires. Look at verse 7 in our text. Psalms 118, verse 7. The Lord taketh my part. Aren't you glad He does? With them that help me. Therefore I shall see my desire upon them that hate me. Now, you got to be careful when it comes to what you desire, right? Because God's promised to give us the desires of our heart, has He not? And you got to be careful what it is that you desire so much. Because, you know, sometimes God will give you what you think you want. And when you get it, you find out that that's not really what you wanted. Isn't that the truth? Psalms 37, notice what it says there. And again, you love these verses, but Psalms 37, 1, he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, and be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and he shall do and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you desires of thine heart. Now, the Lord, I believe that God will do those things. That He will give us the desires of our heart, and that He will sometimes give us those things that we think we want so badly. But again, sometimes when you get them, it's not always what it's cracked up to be. Psalms 21, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Now, again, God will give you what you desire. But you got to be careful about that. Remember Hezekiah? God said, put your house in order. You're going to die. And boy, Hezekiah wept and he cried. He said, now, God, I've been good and I've been righteous and I've done everything you've asked me to do. And this isn't fair. I want to live. And he wept, turned his face towards the wall and prayed. And Isaiah turned around and came right back in. And God says, all right, I'm going to give you 15 more years. Can I tell you that was the biggest mistake of his life? Because that wicked son of his was born during that period. And that wicked son was born. And he was the most evil king that Israel ever had, Manasseh. And God said, I will never forgive the sins of Manasseh. Because he filled this land with the blood of innocents. He killed the babies. He killed the women. He killed the children. He slew the righteous. And I will never forgive that. And they went into captivity because of it. Wouldn't it have been better for him to go on to heaven and be with Jesus? Let me tell you, if God came to me tonight and said, you know, put your house in order, tomorrow you're going. I said, I'd kiss Miss Lisa, I love you. I'd kiss the kids and say I love you, but I'm going to be with Jesus. Hey, I want to be with Jesus. I love all of you, but I love Jesus more. You know what? And if Jesus came to you and said he was going to heaven, I'd give you a farewell kiss and say, praise the Lord, you're going to be with Jesus. That's the greatest day of your life, the day you go to be with Jesus. And I wouldn't do nothing to delay it. Right? Christ pulls the bus up. Hallelujah. You know, the ship of Zion sails on, get on board. I decided a long time ago, you know what? I want the desires of my heart to be what God wants. I want to desire the thing that God desires. And when we desire what God desires, everything is different. And see, and there when there's humility, remember when God came to Solomon and he asked him, he said, Solomon, what is it you want? You know, I'm going to give you, you know, here, make a wish, whatever it is, you can have it. And Solomon had to decide that night and give him what he was going to choose. Psalms 10:17 says this, Thou, Lord, hast heard the desire of the humble, and thou shalt prepare their heart that will cause thine ear to hear. Now, Solomon in his youth was very filled with humility. And if you look in at the text there in 1 Kings chapter number 3, if you look there, 1 Kings chapter number 3, when God comes to Solomon and he gives him this choice, it's not a hard thing for Solomon to decide. 1 Kings 3 and verse number 5, and if you'll look there, it says, In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, and hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made my servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or to come in. And my servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Let me tell you, when our desires and God's desires come together, it is so great. Because God is on our side. Amen. And God gave Solomon wisdom, and he gave him what he didn't ask for. He gave him riches. He gave him power. He gave him the life of his enemies. And he said, Solomon, if you will live for me, I'll give you long life. Now, we know what Solomon did. He messed up, right? And he built all those, married all them wrong women and had the wrong. and God was displeased. He said, I've met with you twice. He says, and I'm very displeased that you've done this thing. But was God still with him? God was still with him. He didn't kill him, and he didn't take away the kingdom from him. But see, the ideal here is, hey, having the desires that God has. You know, Paul had that. Paul had the right desire. He said his desire was to part and be with Christ, which is far better, was it not? Don't we all want Jesus to come? That's the greatest desire we could possibly have, is for Jesus to come. And Paul said, hey, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth has laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. Paul was looking for Jesus Christ. That should be the greatest desire that we have, to see Jesus. I love when people say, when I get to heaven, I want to see this person, that. No, 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 no. When you get to heaven, you're going to want to see Jesus. We're going to want to see Jesus. I'm telling you that we're going to want to see Jesus. Thank God that he's with us in my distress and in my desires and in my devotions. God is with us. Look in our text again in Psalms 118. Notice verse 14. And it says, The Lord is my strength, and song has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is the tabernacles of righteousness. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Verse 19. Open to me the gates of the righteous. I will go into them. I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the right shall enter, I will praise thee. For thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. You say, what is this all about? It's the ideal of going into the courts of the Lord to worship. And the Lord is with me in my devotions, in my worship, my strength, my song, my salvation. You know, no doubt God wants us to worship him. There's no doubt about that. And when we walk with God, you know what? Everything works out. Do we believe that or not? Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good, and them love God, them are called according to his purpose. All things are working together for good when you're walking with God. Was COVID-19 good? Not as far as I can see. And it didn't feel very good to have it. I'll tell you that right now. But did God allow me to have it? Did he work it out for my good and his honor and glory? Obviously he did. It's working out for Miss Lisa, even though she was asymptomatic, she can't hardly smell nothing. When I stink, she can't smell it. That's good. That's very good. She would complain about my shoes, and my shoes stink to high heaven. She said, no worries, I can't smell it. It got so bad today, I actually sprayed Febreze on them. It was getting to me. I couldn't take it. I mean, even my new gym shoes are stinking to high heaven. I said, oh man, I got to put some Febreze on here. Miss Lisa ain't smelling it, thank God. Because she said, man, she'd go out, what is that smell? Oh, it's you. Not anymore. Praise the Lord. She said, you're smelling good. Glory to God. The old sniffer ain't working like it's supposed to. Hey, we laugh about this stuff. But does God know about all this stuff? God knows about everything. And He works it out for His honor and glory and for our good. I rejoice in that. Hey, the preachers, brethren filled in, did a great job preaching. I say, glory to God. You know? I mean, you get that many people watching the service. I say, glory to God. The Lord knew about that. And, hey, He says, even though it was bad, I'm working it out for your honor and for my honor and glory and for your good. Hey, we've had real difficulties in life. But every time we've had difficulties, it was for God's honor and glory and for our good. Anymore, I'm getting to this mentality. When something breaks down, I ain't crying about it. I'm saying, glory to God. Let's get rid of this old piece of junk, whatever it might be, and do something different. Right? You know, there's a time when the car would break down, I'd try and find another $200 car. Not anymore. I said, Lord, the Lord said, hey, man, I'm trying to help you here. You got three cars and every one of them were broke down. I'm trying to help you here. You know, you need to call the junk man. Had a car one time, the same car that fell on me. Miss Lisa came in the one day and it had an ad, donate your car, right? She said, look what I found. You know what she was telling me? It's time to get rid of this piece of junk. It's a shame that sometimes bad things have to happen to open your eyes. When that old 89 LTD was a great car, but when it fell on me, it was past time to get rid of that. And it wasn't amazing. 3 days later, we went out and we got a minivan, and it was so nice. I just wish I'd got it 3 days earlier. And maybe the van wouldn't have had to fall. Maybe the car wouldn't have had to fall on me. Lord says, hey, dummy. You got to get rid. It's time for you to get a new car. I ain't getting a new car. We'll see about that. Right? What's the chance of that thing falling on me in the last 5 seconds before we're finished? Lord says, no. You need a new car. And I want you to go get it tomorrow. Right? I told you, we had that car broke down in Columbus, and man, we just walked away from that and went and got a rental car and said, and that time we bought a minivan the next day. You know, sometimes God, you know, we have trouble letting go of things, don't we? You know how hoarders are? They can't let go of anything. Can I tell you, sometimes everything's got to go in the trash and you got to start over. That's a fact. And it can be painful when you're throwing things in the trash. You say, well, I could use that. When are you going to use that? Never. Hey, you got to do that from time to time. I told Miss Lisa, when we renovate the house, we're going to start a house renovation. I said, I'm going to go in that garage, and everything that's in there, every car part that's in there, is going to the scrapper. And we're starting over. Right? Hey, you got to do that sometimes. When we came back from Trinidad, I said, we're going to pack clothes. Miss Lee said, we ain't packing nothing. It's all going in the garbage. And we literally threw all our clothes away. The only thing we had in our suitcases were school books. And can I tell you, I wish we could have thrown them away. I'm telling you, I wish we could have thrown them away. Sometimes, again, small thinking. And, hey, to grow, some things got to be removed out of your life. And, hey, you acknowledge that. when Job was going through the things of life. And the first thing that Job did after he lost everything was he bowed his head and he worshiped God. You're right there. Job chapter number one. The first thing he did was worship God. You say, what do? The Lord is on my side in our devotions, in our worship. And when things happen, and they do happen, verse 20, Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down and on the ground and worshipped and said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Thither the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. In Job 13:15, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job said, I am going to serve the Lord no matter what, because God is on my side. Now, was God on Job's side? We read chapter number 42. It was all said and done. Job had twice as much as he had before. But see, Job didn't what? He didn't lose his faith. It's sad the amount of people, Christian people, I see losing their faith because something's going wrong. James chapter number 5 and verse number 11. And I'll read that for you. James 5:11. The Bible says this: behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Hey, you can't lose your faith when things go wrong. You can't lose your faith when your children make bad decisions. You can't lose your faith when your grandchildren make bad decisions. You can't lose your faith when the place you're working closes. You can't lose your faith when someone in the ministry messes up. Your faith isn't built upon them. Our faith is built upon Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, the Lord's on our side in our devotions. The Lord's on our side in my discipline. Boy, we hate discipline, don't you? There ain't no one in this building that likes discipline. Look what he says in verse 18. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over to death. Why? Because God is with us. God is on our side. Hey, just because he corrects us doesn't mean that he's not with us. Revelation 3 and 19, and I take heart in these verses because God made it very clear when it comes to his children how he handles us. Revelation 3, and we know these verses. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. If God didn't love me, he wouldn't chasten me. He wouldn't discipline me. You know, we don't go around disciplining everyone else's kids, right? But we do discipline our own. Why? Because we love them. Hey, discipline can be painful, but discipline is necessary. And everyone needs discipline. You say, why ever outgrow discipline? Not in this lifetime. Because God has to correct us in his love. Because every now and then we all get off the path, right? You think, well, I'll never get off the path again. No, everybody gets off the path from time to time. Me and Paul were in the car yesterday, and I was going to call Miss Lisa, and I'm looking at my phone, and wham, knocked the mailbox off. Paul said, you're going to hit the mailbox? And I said, done too late. It knocked the mailbox off. I thought, thank God it didn't knock the mirror off. Mailboxes are cheaper than mirrors. So I said, well, what to do? I backed up, and I said, I set it back on there. And I said, that's not right. You can't drive off. You can't do that. And I looked up the door and I realized they had a Ring doorbell. And I said, you really can't do that. You'll be on TV. Went up and rang the Ring doorbell. Didn't answer. I said, okay. I said, all right. I said, I know what I'm going to do. I said, I'll come back and fix it. So I got my tools and I came back and I fixed it nice. Nice. Correctly. Screwed back in right. Had to go back up. Go by there a couple more times. They're probably thinking, why does this guy keep driving by my house? I saw they had gotten home. I stopped and I rang the doorbell. They were afraid to come to the door. I said, you know, I look like an axe murderer. I'm working. I'm in my white truck, right? What kind of redneck is this? Anyway, so they come to the door and I said, hey, I knocked your mailbox off. And I know you've seen it on your Ring doorbell. I know you've seen it. You had to have seen it, right? And I said, I came back and fixed it right. It's all good. And I want you to know that. And I just want you to know it's fixed and everything's okay. So, okay. I said, all right, well, I'm leaving. I won't be back. He said, well, thank you for fixing it. And I said, okay. But what, isn't it easy just to drive off and say, that didn't happen? But see, guess what? Would that have been right? I don't think that would have been right under no circumstance. I came out in the morning and our mailbox would have been laying on the ground. I would say, how do you like that? I said, I don't want that to happen. I'll be fixing their mailbox. You do reap what you sow, right? And the Lord says, don't even think about getting away with that. He said, that's going to cost you. I said, no. You know, but do we all not have this thought of evil in our life? How easy would it have been? Because I set the mailbox, it was sitting on there straight. It would have been easy to drive off and not give it another thought. But I said, that cannot be how the preacher acts. It's unbecoming of a Christian. And after all, I mean, how much does a mailbox cost anyway? $10? You'd lose your testimony over $10? That don't make sense. Get God's judgment over $10? That don't make a bit of sense. And then when someone knocks our mailbox down, it's going to be hundreds of dollars to fix it back. That don't make a bit of sense. Hey, does God... The thought of foolishness is sin. And God said, can't do that. And I said, Lord, you're right. But he chastens us in love for our good and for correction that we need. We all need it. Last one is this. He's with me in my debts. Look at verse 24 and 25 of our text. He says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Hey, God can send prosperity for certain. Can he not? And God can send, God can send poverty. He can send prosperity. He can do as he pleases. But Psalms 34:10, I've always known and believed that the promises of God. David said in Psalms 37:25, I was young and now I'm old, yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. Amen. Psalms 34:10 says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now there's been times, you know, somehow in our minds we think we have to have a big excess all the time. But doesn't the Bible say, give us this day our daily bread? Didn't God feed Elijah morning and evening with the ravens? He didn't have a refrigerator or a food pantry. Now, what does that teach us? That God can take care of our daily needs. Now, it's a blessing when you got money in the bank. It's a blessing when you got retirement. It's a blessing when you have all these things. But can I tell you, when it's all said and done, we're probably all going to have nothing. When it's all said and done. Why do you think you're telling people, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold? Because if there's no money, what would people buy with? Gold. But I'll tell you what. Gold can't even save you. When they're not accepting anything but electronic currency. You see, the Bitcoin's up to $60,000 a thing now. And you have people in Congress saying, we need to switch to the Bitcoin currency. You say, what is Bitcoin? It's a made-up thing that runs through your computer that doesn't even exist. It's a cryptocurrency. You know, the Antichrist, something he might use. He said, well, my money's in the bank for now. My money's in my mattress for now. But what happens when your money becomes computer code? That's a scary thought, isn't it? Because all of a sudden, you don't have any money except for what they assign you. Just like all this money we're all going to get this next 2 weeks, right? But you are never going to see a dollar bill. What you're going to see is something electronically put into your account.
that you will probably electronically spend. And you will never hold it in your hand.
You say, what's happening there? Well, the Bible says, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Is God going to take care of us anyway?
Yes.
No matter what happens, God's going to take care of us. Why? Because God is on our side. He wants to work in our lives. He wants to supply our needs. He wants to bless us abundantly. But in His time and His way. It's our part to simply walk with Him. I'm glad I have someone that's on my side. And I'm glad it's not nationwide. You know, nationwide is on your side until it's time to pay. We could say, don't get me started. Talk about insurance companies. The biggest scam there ever was. But you got to have it, right? I'm glad that God is on my side. If God be for us, who can be against us? And that's what David counted on. He said, God is with me. And when God's with you, no matter what, everything is going to be okay. Let's stand for prayer. Miss Susan, you come play something. And then we'll pray and we'll be dismissed.